Okay, good morning, Bereshis Rabbi Kron. So we are on Daf Kuf Yud Tes. We're beginning the last Perek in Yevamos. So the Mishnah tells us, Ha'isha shahalach bala v'tzarasa l'medinas hayam. So you have a woman whose husband and her co-wife are going overseas. They're traveling away. And Rashi explains that we're talking about a situation where the husband has no children either from this wife or from the co-wife. And she, it's reported to her that the husband has died. She's not allowed to get married and she's not allowed to do yibam. So she's not allowed to do to get married because we know that since the husband didn't have children, then in theory she is a zika to do yibam with his brother. However, she may not be able to do Yibum because if this co-wife happened to have given birth to a child, then she would be ineligible to do Yibum. And in fact, it's an Iser, it's an Erva for her to marry her husband's brother. So she can't get married or do Yibum. Achedeba tishateda shememu beresi tsaras until she learns that maybe her tsara was pregnant. So if she's able to, until she's able to determine that that Sarah is either pregnant or not pregnant, she doesn't know how to proceed. Kehaya lachamos. So now, if she had also had a mother-in-law that also was living out of the area, she's all in Dinas Hayam, and so in that case, we have another complication because if that mother-in-law gave birth in this time, then maybe that we're talking about a situation, so let me back up. So we're talking about a situation in this case where maybe this guy didn't have any brothers, so therefore you wouldn't have to worry about Yibam. But if the mother-in-law happens to have given birth to a brother in this time, then she would be a Zika, right? So this is a different scenario where the status of the mother-in-law might dictate whether she has to Yibam or not. So Eino Chosheshes, we don't worry about this. So therefore we're not concerned that their mother-in-law gave birth to a son over in Medina Sayyam, and therefore she's bound for Yibam, but she can get married. Yatza Malaya, however, if the mother-in-law, when she left for Medina Sayyam, happened to have been pregnant at the time, Choshesh, then we have to worry about that maybe she gave birth to a boy. However, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Eino Choshesh, we don't have to worry about this, and therefore she's allowed to get married without doing, you know, significant investigation. So now the Gemara asks, "My he tsarasa." So when we said up above that you have to check about whether the co-wife was pregnant, it says shemam uberet he tsarasa. Maybe the tsara was pregnant. So what's this extra word he? What's the purpose of it? It's not necessary. You could have said shemam uberet tsarasa or shemam uberes. Any of those combinations. So we have an extra word or so. So Kamash Malan, we learn from this, Lahait Sarah Hai Chashina. We worry about that this co-wife was the one who may have been pregnant. Avalat Sarah Achriti Lo Chashina. But we're not worried, because in theory, that if the husband had gone off to Medina Sayyam, he might have married someone else. So we're not worried that there might be other co-wives out there. We only worry about the one co-wife that we know that he went with. Okay, now, in the first part of the mission, it says, Lo Tinase Velo Siskabim. She's not allowed to get married. She's not allowed to do Yibam. Bishleima Yivu Melo, we would understand that she can't do Yibam. Why? The Dilma Mi'ibra, but maybe the Tzara is pregnant. If the Tzara is pregnant, then she doesn't have to do, she's not allowed to do Yibam. The Kafanta Be'eshes Achta Reisad, if she would then do Yibam with the brother, she'd be over on the Iser D'Areisa of marrying the brother of her husband. But why do we say that she's not allowed to marry this, just a regular old guy, not do Yibam? Why do we say that? The answer is, Halach Acha Rov Nashim. We follow the majority of women. Rov Nashim is Abras Bialadas. Most women, if they're off and they're married over a period of time, they're going to become pregnant and give birth. So there is a likelihood that she will have, that the co-wife will have been given birth, and therefore we shouldn't necessarily have to worry about her marrying someone else. So again, what we're going to talk about now is a couple of concepts of odds and probability, as well as the concepts of chazaka. We'll get into that a little bit. So Lema Rabbi Meir, he the Chayesh Lamiyutin. So should we say that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir was known that he would always worry about minority opinions, and therefore, even if the odds of something was small, he would care for that sort of opinion. So the Gemara answers, Afilo Tema de Rabbanan. You could say that a Mishnah might follow the Rabbanan. Ki Azla Rabbanan Basa Rube. For when did the Rabbanan follow a majority, in other words, a higher level of probability? Ruba de Isa Kaman. They would only do that in a case when the majority is before us, meaning that when you're looking at the odds, meaning the majority odds, you're doing it in a fact-based. Kagon. So maybe you have nine stores. What does that mean? That means if you're on a street, you're on Cedar Lane, and Cedar Lane happens to have 10 butcher stores on one block. Nine of those butcher stores are kosher and one is not, and there's a piece of meat found on the street. You could assume by likelihood of probability that there's a high probability based on the fact that there's 9 out of 10 are kosher, that the food is kosher. Or similarly by the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin would have 23 people on it. Even if a vote was 12 to 11, that majority was enough to be considered a majority. Ava ruba de lesa kaman. But when you have a case of where the majority is not a fact-based, but it's like a probability-based, lo azlan rabana basa ruba. The rabana didn't follow this type of majority. They wouldn't base it on anything. So we're going to not like this answer. Vahari kata niktana de ruba de lesa kaman. But when you talk about a child, that a boy or a girl who is a minor. So this is a case where it's not a fact-based. But the Rabbanan followed the majority probability. In Tanya, we learned in the Baraisa. Katan and Ktana, the Katan and the Ktana don't do Chalitza and they don't do Yibam. Divrei Rabbi Meir, this is what Rabbi Meir says. Amrlel Rabbi Meir, so the Chachamim says Rabbi Meir, Yafa Marta Shein Chalitzen. We follow you, we agree with you that the children should not do chalitza. Why? Because ish ksiba parsha. Because when it talks about chalitza, it uses the word ish. By ish, it means specifically an adult male. Umakshinan isha leisha. And therefore, we compare, we do the same thing. We say that women and men follow the same rule. And therefore, they have to be an adult for them to do chalitza. Elama tam eini miyabim. But why don't the children do yibam? Yibam, it doesn't have the word ish. Amohem, Rav Meir would apply Katan Shema Yimatze Saras. He, again, Rav Meir always follows, always is careful about the minor opinion. There is a possibility that the Katan is a Saras. He's going to be unable to have children. Katana Shema Timse Eilonis, or the girl won't be able to have children. V'nimsu Pogim Be'erva. And therefore, if they have relations with the brother, they're considered doing Erva, and therefore they would not do Yibam. Rabbanan Savre, and the Rabbanan who would therefore allow the Yibam for a child, they would say, Zil Basa Roba Diktanim. They follow the majority of kids. Rov Tanim Lav Sarisin. Most children are not Sarisin. Zil Basa Rov Tanos. Similarly, when it comes to girls, Rov Tanos Lav Elunis Ninu. So again, so they're not saying factually, we're talking about 10 children, and 9 of them we know are not Sarisim or Elunis. We say generally the statistics tell us that the probability of some being a Saris or Elunis is low, and therefore we don't follow that. We follow majority, the likely majority is that they're not Sarisim, and they would follow that. So again, you can't say that the Rabbanan only follow the majority, the minority, based upon fact-based probability. Elma Mechavarte, so the clear understanding is the Masnis and Rabbi Meir, that our Mishnah must be following the view of Rabbi Meir, who was always worried about the minority view. But my Ukimta, how do we know this? How can we establish that this is really the case for Rabbi Meir, that it follows Rabbi Meir? Ema Seifa, what about the second part of the Mishnah that we talks about? Haisel Chamos, the guy has a mother-in-law. Eno Chasheshes, we said we're not worried about the fact that the mother-in-law gave birth while she's away. So am I, if we're going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir, why wouldn't we worry about maybe there's a Yavam? Halach Acha Rov Nashim, we might follow the case of majority of women. For Rov Nashim, it's Abros Vildos, majority of women. Like we said earlier, when a woman is married and she's having relations with her husband, the likelihood is that she's going to get pregnant and have children? So the answer is miyum apila. Now, a percentage of those women who get pregnant are, God forbid, going to miscarry. And of the children that are born, 50% are going to be boys and 50% are going to be girls. So therefore, so if you take the 50% that are going to be girls and you add to it the additional percentage that are going to be non-viable pregnancies, that the likelihood of having a the mother-in-law having a boy is actually less than 50%. It's actually a minority. So maybe the Rabbi Meir should worry about the fact that the mother-in-law is of this type of minority situation, and if she gives birth while she's away, there's this, even though there's a 28% chance that it's going to be a boy, that Rabbi Meir should say that the widow, that this woman shouldn't be allowed to marry until she knows factually that her mother-in-law did not give birth to a son. But maybe Dilma came on the Ichsak Lishuk. So now we're going to say that there's also the other argument here is the concept of chazaka. Chazaka is that when someone is in a certain status, and what has to happen to change that status? Dilma came on the Ichsak Lishuk. So since this widow is, her status is that maybe she has the general status, she has the chazaka that she's allowed to marry someone else, because there was, when the mother-in-law left, when the husband went overseas and the mother-in-law left, there was no child born, there was no child out there, and therefore she has a chazaka that there's no yibum, there's no zika that she would have had, and therefore she doesn't have to worry about it, because when they left, the chazaka was that this person was not in the world. So like Lochia, so Rav Meir isn't worried about the possibility that her status changed. But what he does is he says, all right, she left with the Chazakah, and therefore we believe the Chazakah. So Gemara answers, Reisha, if we follow the Chazakah, then in the first part of the Mishnah, when the woman's husband, who had a brother, left, then the Ichsik Leibum, then we know that maybe the woman had a Chazakah, that she should have a zika to the brother. You know, we said at the beginning that we have to find out if the tzara had a baby. When the tzara left, she wasn't pregnant. There was no baby, but there was a brother. So therefore, when she left, there would have been a zika. The chazaka would have been that there would have been a zika for this woman to have to do yibam with the brother. Tiyabe, therefore she'd have to do yibam based upon chazaka. So why would the Mishnah tell us that she can't do yibam until we know the actual facts? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Abuah, Reisha the Iser Kares. Maybe when we're talking about the first case of our Mishnah, it's an Iser Kares, that if she marries her husband's brother when she shouldn't, it's an Iser Kares, Chashashu, and therefore they were worried about this possibility. So even though she had a chazaka, they wouldn't allow her to get married without this. But Seifa, the Iser Lav, in the latter case, when all we're talking about is the concept of whether she should go to her Yavam or not, that is not a Kares prohibition. Well, Chashashu, they're not worried about it. So even though they're both Lavim, one has Kares and one does not. And the one that has Kares is where they would require her to double verify. Amarava, Michti, what are we talking about here? Hadaraisa. In both cases, the case of whether that she's not allowed to marry her brother's wife, that's an Iser Daraisa, as well as the case of that she's required to do Yibam before she marries someone else, that's also a Daraisa. Mali Iser Kares, Mali Iser Lav. Why would we say that? Oh, because one gets Kares and one does not. We allow one, and we're more careful about one, and we don't care. We're not less careful about the other. We don't usually do that when it comes to something that's a daraisa. Ella Amar Rava, but this is what Rava said, turning to Amud Beis, in the Reisha, in the first part of the Mishnah, where the husband had a brother and he left without children, and the question is about whether the tzara, the co-wife, had children when he was away. Chazaka Liyibam. The Chazaka says that the widow is has a Chazaka of Yibam. Veruba Lashuk, and the majority of people the majority says that she would be allowed to that she would be allowed to marry other people, and she would be prohibited to do Yibam. The chazaka lo adif ki ruba. Chazaka is not as strong as the concept of ruba, majority. So we wouldn't allow the wife to do yibam on the basis of chazaka. But Rabbi Meir would also not allow her to do yibam. Why? Because he would follow the minority case. So again, Rabbi Meir always worried about the minority. So when you add in the number of women that are actually going to miscarry, you would ultimately wind up with the fact that the woman may not have given birth to a viable child. And if you add that in with the concept of chazaka, which gives us the possible status that the wife would have to do yibam, the combination of these two things, according to Rav Meir, A plus B is better. So having the majority and having the chazaka is better for, or having the minority for Rabbi Meir and having the chazaka is better for Rabbi Meir. V'havilei palga upalga. So the question about whether the widow has to do yibam or is allowed to do or is allowed to marry people from the general population is kind of winds up being like a 50-50 split. And therefore, lo tinase v'lo tiyabim. And therefore, she's in limbo. So in the first case, she winds up being in limbo, and that's why you have to kind of investigate it. Seifa, in the second case, when it comes to the mother-in-law, chazaka l'shuk v'ruba l'shuk, the majority and the chazaka are the same. The chazaka tells us that she should be allowed to marry the regular anybody else because when she left, there was no brother in the world. The havile schara mi'uta de'me'uta, the likelihood that the mother-in-law was one of those who gave birth to a viable child and that viable child was a boy is also a miyut, it's also a minority. Umiyuta de'me'uta lo chayish Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir wouldn't worry about a very small minority, and therefore the Mishnah would allow her to marry the general population. So with this, we'll stop. We'll pick up again tomorrow. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.